is dying without our deliver. Arise and pray, arise and pray. Till the whole world hears, till the whole world knows. Lord, send us out where you would have us go. Till the lost world hears, till the last one knows. The grace of God, the love that you have shown. Till the whole world hears.
Hello, and welcome to the Santa Ponsa Community Church online service. What a privilege it is to be able to study the Word of God together. Today, we're looking at the Church of Laodicea, this church that lived in this city that was self-sufficient. They had a great clothing factory. They had a great medical center. They had great banking center, and they were just very self-sufficient. But Jesus is able to reach in to the church and confront. It's not easy to be confronted, but it is amazing when we are able to be confronted with loving kindness that leads us to change. And that is exactly what Jesus is going to do to this church. So let's dive right into it. Exciting news. We just had open day here at the Santa Ponsa Christian Nursery, and we are shooting to open up on the 11th of January. How exciting is that? We're just putting up the finishing touches here in the building, making the playground, making the classrooms, making it safe, making it exciting, making it comfortable, making it lovely for the little kids to be loved on and to be nurtured as they grow. How exciting is that? And then on another note, you can go check it out on the website, Santa Ponsa Community Church Christians Nursery. And then the other thing is that I want to let you know about is the food bank. We are going through extraordinary times, 86% minus in the economy here in Mallorca, Spain, particularly entertainers, particularly restaurant owners and shops and people that are not working online. It's tremendous times. People have lost. And you know what? It is not people that don't want to work. It's people that cannot work. People that are hard workers. And it is really real time. It's exciting times to be able to care for one another, to be able to have open eyes, open ears, to people that might just need a little help. To whether we can or able to help ourselves as good neighbors, or whether we're able to point them in the right directions to food banks like Santa Paguera Helps Paguera, or Manuel Mas in Magaluf, or our own Santa Ponsa Community Church food bank. And I would like to give you a helpline to be able to give to people. If you know someone that needs help with food, our goal is that no one goes without food in Calvià this winter. And the WhatsApp group is, or number is 655-641-362. It is message only, not phone calls, message only. But just let us know whether you want to help, whether you know that somebody needs help, or whether you need help. And we will do our best to make sure that no one goes without food in Calvià winter 2020. May God bless you.
Our study in the letters of the seven churches will continue with the book of Revelation, hopefully at a faster pace. But we are at the moment, we've been a few weeks going through these letters. So let's begin. I almost wanted to warn people on social media, hey, we're going to study the Church of Laodicea. If you don't want to come, stay home. You know, it's kind of like the one that has a bit of a negative connotation, and there's nothing positive said about it from Jesus. And so it's difficult, but nevertheless, in our lives, we should not just focus on the things of the Bible we like, but we should look at the things of the Bible as they are. That's the thing about teaching through books of the Bible, is that you cannot just deal with subjects that are comfortable and encouraging, but rather be able to look at things that are challenging and conducive for our growth. So let's begin in verse 14 to the end of the chapter. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I would vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, and that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So here we are. My goodness, this is one of those things that it just kind of hits you. And then sometimes it can kind of, the devil can use scriptures like this to really condemn us. But the Lord never wants to condemn. He wants to convict. He wants to love on us and watch and have our lives being transformed. And let's dive into it. The Laodicean church was in a valley about 16 kilometers west of Colossae. It was saturated by pagan worship. And the interesting thing is that by the third century, in the coins of Laodicea actually showed the Jewish Jewish and pagan versions of the flood stories together. So you can see that there was no separation, in a sense, from the Jews and those in Laodicea. And Jesus pulls no punches in addressing the Laodicean church. And the first thing he does, and we looked at this last week, the first thing he does is reveal himself. You know, he says, he reveals himself. He says, "I am the Amen," a Hebrew term of confirmation, suggesting assurance of all of his promises. He says, Jesus reveals himself as also as the, as faithful and true. And he reveals himself as the beginning of the creation of God. Beginning of the creation of God can also be seen as the source, the ruler. But you know what? When he says, "I'm true, I am faithful," I think sometimes we can kind of lose glimpse of, because we're so just in this world, we can kind of lose glimpses of the prophecies and the things that Jesus has promised that would happen. So, for example, we read, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And you read stuff like Babylon has fallen, how in the future the whole economy is going to fall down. Or you hear when Jesus says there will be pestilences. Or you hear where Jesus says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you." You can sort of come in your mind as these things, are they really going to happen? And sometimes, because we lose glimpse of the faithfulness and the honesty and the truthfulness of what Jesus says, we can sort of realign our lives differently. And I think this is what happened to the Laodicean church. They kind of lost vision because they had lost glimpse of the promises of God. He is the Amen, and it suggests assurances of all His promises. Now, He's the beginning of creation. And the Laodicean church has sort of misplaced that, and they forgot that He was faithful. They forgot that He was a promise-keeping God, and they forgot that He was the source, the Lord, the ruler. Because look what they say. It says, you say, I am rich, have become wealthy. And this is the key. There's nothing with being rich, becoming wealthy. The problem was, and have need of nothing. I've become rich, I've become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. And this is what the Laodicean church was saying. The Christians, no doubt, had caught and were filled with the self-sufficiency of the city of Laodicea. It was okay for the church of God to be in Laodicea, but it was not okay for the Laodicean mentality to be in the church of God. You see, Laodicea was a great banking and financial city. In AD 61, the Laodicean church suffered a tremendous earthquake that flattened the whole city, and they refused any help from anybody. They said, we will build it ourselves. We'll rebuild it ourselves. It was a great center of clothing manufacture. They were famous for their soft, violet, black, glossy wool. The Laodicean was very proud of the clothing it produced. And it was a medical center. They were known for ointment for their ears and ointment for their eyes. And again, back to the coins and archaeology, the Laodicean coins, their doctors were so famous that oftentimes their faces are found in the coins of the doctors. People from all over the world, if they were blind, if they had eye problems, if they had ear problems, they would go there and get the salve, the ointment from them. And they said, we have need of nothing. They sort of caught, the Christians had caught the mentality of the Laodicean people. But Jesus always views things clearly. Again, we looked at a few weeks ago. It doesn't matter what people think about us. The question is, how does Jesus see us? You know, I come here today and I can just talk and just give you a nice Bible study. And I came here convicted. My goodness. This morning I woke up and Jonathan took a shower this morning. You guys are going to think like, man, you're a micromanager. I was like, Jonathan, why are you taking a shower this morning? You took a shower last night. You only need one shower a day. It's not like, you know, and then afterwards he comes down and I said, and today you're coming to the second service because last week in the first service, you were bored and you, not only did you have the cookies, but then he told me I was hungry and I had a candy bar. And I was like, what are you doing having a candy bar? He's got stomach problems, so I want to protect his stomach. I was like, what are you doing having this candy bar? And then afterwards I said, and by the way, and you're not coming because last week, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the second service, I was sitting here teaching and he just thought it would be funny to just, with a mirror or a sign, just shine in my eyes as I was teaching until I gave him a look and I was like, what are you doing? I guess it was in the video, you know. Paul says, you look quite upset for a minute, but then you composed yourself, you know. And I'm looking at my son and he's just like, you know, I'm just like, but you know, the difficulty is that I could sort of purport to be something, and you guys could actually perceive something about me, but that in reality, it's not true, and it is a real challenge for me to make sure that I think more and care more about what Jesus thinks about me and knows about me than what you think about me and think you know about me. Somebody told me the other day, you know, to us, you're like a superstar. Like, you know, and meaning kind of like the pastor is sort of, that's the last thing that I want. The last thing that I want is for me to be seen as anybody different or anybody for that matter. And we need to want and long for to know what Jesus thinks about us. And the aim of our life is to please Him. Paul said, we desire to please Him. And here, the Christians, they were saying to themselves, I am rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. But Jesus says, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Unhappy, unfortunate, or banished. Jesus always has a clearer view. Do you realize that you could go to the doctor feeling fine? Well, actually, you know, I'll tell you a story. Mark came over to my house last year sometime, or before they left. And then he went over to, no, I was at Paul's. He came over there to help, Mark came to help Paul with the bicycle. And then I went home and Loretta wasn't home. The kids were not home. And I thought to myself, oh, let me go back to Paul's house. And they were both bent over, squatting just around the bicycle. And all of a sudden I got a glimpse of Paul's head. And I said, Paul, you got a mark here. You got to get that checked out. And Paul was just like, really? You know, he's a bit of a hypochondriac, you know, kind of like, you know, he's just like, oh, really? What's going on? And Mark, usually, he's the exact opposite of a hypochondriac. He's like, there's nothing wrong with you. Mark says, ooh, you should get that checked out. So the next day he was in the doctor. He had a super malignant tumor, cancer that was in his head. And they were able to catch it in time and get it out. And he's fine. And I remind them every day, I saved your life. but the reality in our life is this, that we can feel fine. We can be, everybody might think that we're fine, but we might not be fine. And if someone comes and actually has the love and the decency and the kindness to say, actually, have you checked that out? It's for our good. And thank God that Jesus is the great physician. And he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, and that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And the Laodiceans lacked its own water supply. They had to provide it through underground channel, piping that was super contaminated with limestone. They had no direct to access. And you know what? Funny enough, nearby to them, there was good water. You see, they had the hot springs. They had hot springs nearby in kilometers away, but nevertheless nearby, where you could use that for medicinal purposes or for cooking, boiling water, whatever it was. And nearby, they actually had the mountains, and the towns nearby had really, really fresh, cold water. Now, both of them have a use, don't they? And, you know, and, there, and you have three different words here. Cold is skurus, cold to the point of freezing. Hot is zestus, point, hot to the point of boiling. And lukewarm, tepid, often a nauseating effect. Now, when I was growing up, you guys know the festivals of Sant Antoni here in Mallorca. Well, my goodness, I love Sant Antoni because there was fires everywhere. And there was sobresada, butifarron, and you would be 10 years old, 9 years old, and go from fire to fire, and everybody would just give you food to eat. It was just like heaven on earth. But not only did they give you food to eat, but sometimes they just give you a little bit of wine to have. Right? Ah, my little Mallorquin friend over there knows. And so I went to one little fire and they gave me a little glass of wine. And then I went to the other little fire and they gave me another glass of wine. Well, as a 10-year-old, I ended up wasted, drunk, fell asleep on a rocking chair. And finally, they called my grandmother two streets over and she came. She was so nice to me. She was, actually. She could yell. If she got angry, she would pull her own hair out, you know, just like she's like Nehemiah. And but here at this point, what she did is she actually took some lukewarm water with a bit of salt in it. And she says, drink this, Raf. I said, okay. I drank it. My goodness. Have you ever done that? Wow. Have you ever put Mentos in Coca-Cola? Well, that same effect was in my stomach. It's just like it went in, and I think everything that I'd ever eaten and more came out. It was the most wild feeling in the world. It was terrible. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That lukewarm causes nausea. But this passage has often been misinterpreted. You see, this passage often is interpreted as cold being bad and hot being good. So therefore, you have to be on fire. You have to be on fire. You have to be hot. But the passage is not saying that. Jesus is saying, I wish you would be cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So it's not that you have to be fervently on fire, always just kind of like going for it to be a faithful Christian. That's not it at all. Cold is good. You know, there are aspects in the Bible where actually it interprets cold as being very good. Look, in Philippians 1:7, it says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. I mean, that's cold. That's refreshment. 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus for us, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. 2 Corinthians 2:13, Titus heard, heart was refreshed by you all. 1 Corinthians 16:18, for they refresh my spirits and yours. Acknowledge such men. And actually, in Acts 3:19, Peter says to the people, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshment might come from the throne of the Lord. So actually, cold freshness has a purpose in the kingdom of God. But then you have hot, and hot is not bad. You know, Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Jeremiah says, I will not speak about the name of God anymore. Yet I couldn't because his word was like a fire within me. I couldn't hold it in. I have to. It's burning. In Luke 24:32, as the disciples were walking disappointed and Jesus went by, he explained the Bible to them. And then they said to one another, did our hearts not burn within us as he explained the scriptures to us? That's fire. It's good. Cold is good and refreshing. Hot is good and burning. But the problem is that lukewarm is just indifferent. And it is indifference that was the problem in this church. They say you cannot write a good biography about anybody if you don't hate the person or love the person. If you're indifferent, it cannot be a good biography. And Jesus is saying, I want water that will refresh. You're like water. You're like the water that you hate. And Jesus says this in verse 18, I counsel you. I advise you. I give you when you advise someone, you give forethought. You help people to see the consequences and the good consequences and bad consequences that are ahead with actions. You give wisdom how to relate to your surroundings and how to make the best decision. You give people consideration to consider. And his desire is to cause us to see the long-term effects. His desire is to give us wisdom, the best way forward. His desire is to help us consider, to relate. His desire is to show us direction in life. So when Jesus comes to the Laodicean church, he says, I counsel you. I want to give you advice. The question is, will you take his advice or will you take everybody else's advice? Now, I think something that's very important is that we get the tone. This is huge. You know, I hate text messages. you know, unless they come from Michael. You know, Michael's amazing. It's like he writes a little letter. You know, it's just like he begins and he makes full sentences. And then he says, and blessings. And you can kind of get the heart. But for me, I'm just like, you know, you just write shorter things. And then sometimes you just don't get the tone. And I think with the Bible, sometimes we see the right words, but we don't get the right tone. And we must realize, we must be careful not to misunderstand the tone of the rebuke or the correction in this letter. Notice what it says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Notice that the Laodiceans were not being rebuked because God didn't love them. Actually, he was after them because he did love them. And oftentimes we think if somebody loves us, they never confront anything. And if someone hates us, then therefore they confront something. You know, I know for Jonathan, I have a hard time. And with Arden, I mean, Arden is out of control at the moment. And I find myself it's difficult parenting. I mean, it's difficult. But with Jonathan, the thing that I don't want to do is I want him to realize that in some things I'm wrong, but whenever I'm trying to raise him, I'm not doing it because I hate him. I'm doing it because I love him. And sometimes it's difficult, no? As you're growing up and you want to be more independent and you want to do things because other people are doing it, the temptation is to think your parents don't care for you. Your parents must be against you. Your parents are there just to ruin your life. And sometimes we can feel that about God. But you see, love is balanced. For whom the Lord, Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And as a matter of fact, in Hebrews 12:8, it says, but if you are without chastening, of which we all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children. If God actually never challenges you in anything, Hebrews says, then maybe you're not his child. I mean, that's powerful, isn't it? So to me, it's just like, oh, wow, I got a spanking today. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? If you never get caught with anything, you know, one pastor I remember saying, it's like some people have a lot of freedom. God's got me on a short leash. And sometimes maybe that short leash is just a representation of that love. You see, I can see kids shining lights and do things or maybe even painting somebody else's car or whatever and not say anything. But it's different if my child does it. If my child does it, I'm going to be like, hey, Jonathan, listen, this belongs to somebody else. You know, you discipline the child you love. But there's no intention to hurt, but to heal. Romans 12:4 says this, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. So the Christian life, if we're going to look at it honestly, it's a life where we are forgiven, where we are transformed. But there's a sense that if we do things or if we're going in a road that is going in the wrong direction, that we actually have a faithful God who in his kindness, in his mercy, in his forbearance, which means his patience, he is actually going to bring us to a place that realizing, oh my goodness, I'm going the wrong way. And that our hearts will be melted. I mean, I think of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he's persecuted Christians everywhere. And next thing you know, he hears, why do you persecute me? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. I mean, think of the kindness, the forbearance, the patience of Jesus. So you see, if it was me, I would have cut off his head. I think Paul thought he was going to have his head cut off. But in his patience and in his kindness, he brought him to a place where he didn't leave him the same, but changed him. There's no intention to hurt, but to heal. And if you see, whenever Jesus says, repent, if you see my love for you, Jesus, in a sense, Jesus says, it will lead you to action. God cares not just for the needy in this world, but this is an amazing thing. He cares about our hearts in need. He cares about our hearts in need. He's much more interested about what's happening in us than what's happening around us. Repent. Both hot and cold water both serve important functions. Lukewarm water does not serve any good function. Have a purpose. Serve with purpose. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be corrected. It's not easy. We must not allow ourselves to be calloused in our hearts. The Laodiceans were self-satisfied and secure and felt little need from outside of themselves. And in our day and age, you know, we must be sensitive to what the Spirit is wanting to do in our relationships, what the Spirit is wanting to do in our families, what the Spirit is wanting to do with us, what involvement in the church, in our communities, what involvement in the church around the world. I read this. Our indifference to persecution, political oppression, are abundant among our Christian brothers all over the world and reveal our contentment in this world. I mean, think, today as we speak, there are people on death row for being Christians. You know, we talked about it here, many of us, just recently with Steffi and the sex trade. And there's almost, if we're not careful, we don't refresh. And we don't even get angry. We're just indifferent. And indifference has no place in our hearts in the Christian life. And you know what? The Laodiceans, they could just sort of enjoy life and have no purpose whatsoever. But you know what? God has decided that he will have no spoiled children in his kingdom. He's not going to have spoiled children. Right now, we're dealing with a little Arden is turning into a little bit of a spoiled brat. I want this. And then he screams. We took him to Toys R Us, which was the biggest mistake of my life. And he saw the dinosaurs and everything else. And he says, I want a dinosaur. I said, which one? He goes, all of them. That's what we ended up with. And God, and I don't want my children to grow up into spoiled brats. But God has decided he wants no spoiled children. Listen, if there's a Christianity that you think it's going to bring you what you want, when you want, how you want it, that's not Christianity. Christianity is going to be where he brings us to a place where we cry out from the bottom of our hearts, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Including in our hearts, in our lives. And it is his kindness, his mercy, his grace, his hand that wants to break our stubborn hearts. My goodness. Pastoring 20 years now. You all are stubborn. My wife is stubborn. My kids are stubborn. I made a joke years ago. I wrote two books. You know about the two books I wrote? Humility, what I see in myself. And pride, what I see in other people. You know, and sometimes we can kind of be like that. But the stubbornness in my own heart, and usually what gets us into trouble with him and with other people and in our lives, is just a stubbornness not to yield to what God wants to do in our life. We're almost like perpetual teenagers. You know, I was a horrible son as a teenager. And we have, God is determined through his kindness. Isn't that nice that he doesn't break it like we do? Like we do head-on confrontation. He does the kindness, the mercy, the long-suffering. He is determined with the kindness, the long-suffering, and the mercy to break our stubbornness. Will you allow, will we allow in our hearts a place where we say, oh Lord, if there's one thing I don't want to do, I don't want to be stubborn. I want to be open to your correction. And if there's indifference in my life, Lord, help me not to be indifferent. Help me to serve a purpose. Cold water, refreshing. Hot water, boiling and bringing heat and bathing. But Lord, help me, keep me from being purposeless to a place where I actually just use the ground and have no fruit. And we must have balance. Not grow discouraged when we are corrected, but realize that although correction brings sadness into our life, it always leads to joy. And the thing is that we can be unbalanced. We want joy, we want peace, but we want none of the discipline. We want none of the pursuing us. And our desire, my desire, is to encourage people to stand on the balanced foundation of the gospel of Jesus, which means that we cannot be people that just take Bible verses and take only the promises that are good, that we like, and don't live according to the promises that are just the reality of life. He is the source. He is the true. He is faithful. God loves. God is kind. God is merciful. And because of this, he corrects and disciplines. Right? It is, you know, my parents... My dad was never there to correct anything. That was no kindness. I wish that somebody lovingly, kindly, patiently would have come alongside me and said, Raph, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me help you. That is love. That is a blessing. And oftentimes we divide it. We have the God of wrath. We got the God of discipline, and then we have this other God that's just kind, merciful, and fluffy. But you know what? It's the whole thing together. The balance is we have a just God who is gracious, who is merciful. We have a loving Father, yes, who refuses to allow us to be spoiled brats, but wants us to grow in maturity. So let's say, oh Lord, let's be people that have open hearts. I don't know how the Laodiceans reacted, but notice this. Jesus says this. He doesn't say, and I'm going to destroy you. He says, behold, I stand at the door. What does that mean? Stand at the door of your heart. And I'm longing for fellowship. I'm longing for transformation. I'm longing for a relationship. I'm longing to restart sort of thing, to redo, to get you on the path that flourishes, that's full of purpose. Until we stand with him who is the source of life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness, for your mercy, for your kindness. Thank you that you don't come into our life to destroy us. You are our Father. You are our teacher. You are gentle. You are firm. You are clear. You want to counsel us. Oh, Lord, we need you. And I pray, Father, for my stubborn heart. And thank you for how gentle you speak to our hearts. Thank you that your heart is wide open to us. Thank you, Lord, that you want to lead us in a path of life, in a path of wisdom, in a path of true fulfillment, in a path of purpose. And help us, Lord, to get... alongside and always be open to to the things you want to do in our life. Have your way with us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. For that is who you are. 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 See it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. Yeah. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You You are here, moving in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
So we looked at the Church of Laodicea, and we learned that it's not necessarily cold is bad and hot is good. It's you know, cold has a purpose, hot has a purpose. It is that part of the lukewarmness that has no purpose that was the problem. And Jesus, in his kindness, in his love, is able to confront the Laodicean church, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what people think about us, what people might see on the outside. What matters is to have the great physician, Jesus Christ, be able to look at us as we are and lovingly, kindly, persistently reach into our hearts. And we looked at the verse. It is the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. And God is not there looking to destroy us, but actually to build us. And we looked at the fact that he's knocking at the door. Is he knocking at the door of your heart? He is knocking, wanting to restore, wanting to fellowship, wanting to transform, wanting to build. And the worst thing we can do would be to remain stubborn as spoiled children. And as we looked at today, God will have no spoiled children. He wants us to grow into maturity. May God bless you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus.
Capture my heart, I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak. Carry me.